Allow your mind to get settled with the breath. This means finding a place in the body where it's congenial to stay focused, and a way of breathing that's congenial to settle on. What feels good for the body right now? Nobody else can tell you. You have to notice for yourself. And you have lots of choices. You have long breathing, short breathing, fast, slow, heavy, light, deep, shallow, and all sorts of combinations of those factors. So play around with the breath. Get on familiar terms with it, because you want to be able to stay settled right here, to see what's going on in the present moment, and particularly to see what your mind is doing, what choices it's making, where it's deciding to go, what it's deciding to think about, planning to say, planning to do. We want to see our actions, because it's because of our actions that we suffer. We want to notice precisely which actions are the ones that cause the suffering, and which ones can help lead away from suffering. That's where the discernment comes in. Sometimes your Buddhist wisdom is all about emptiness or about non-duality. But you have to ask yourself, are you suffering because you think things are dual? Are you suffering because you don't realize that things are empty? Suppose you're attached to a flashlight. Why are you attached to the flashlight? Because you don't realize your oneness with a flashlight? That doesn't make any sense. Because you don't see the flashlight as empty of any underlying essence? You can have those perceptions of being one and perceptions of emptiness and still be attached to the flashlight. You're attached because you see that it's worth being attached to. The effort that goes into the attachment is rewarded. That's how you see things. And the question is, where are you putting effort in that's not rewarded? Where are you putting effort in that's actually causing suffering? It's pretty basic, which is one of the reasons why real discernment, when it comes, is kind of embarrassing. You realize, oh my gosh, I've been doing this and I knew better. And yet I'm still going ahead and doing it again and again and again. That's when you realize that you've seen the cause of suffering and you've been able to let it go. It's something right here. It's something you're doing in terms of your calculation of what's worth holding on to and the rewards and the drawbacks of holding on. And this is why we act in every case. You think it's going to be worth it. We take risks because we think it's worth it. We hold on to things. We let go of things because we think it's worth it. It's one of the basic functions of the mind. So it's not just a trick of perception that we have to change. If it were, that would reward trickiness. The kind of people say, well, I can get around this by a little trick here, a little trick there, not put in much effort. And you see that around sometimes in practice communities. But the Buddha is looking for something different. He's looking for your integrity, your willingness to admit, okay, you made a mistake. And your decision that you've got to stop making that mistake, because you realize you're not the only one who's suffering from these mistakes. Other people suffer too. This is why the teachings on emptiness that you find in the canon basically grow out of the Buddha's teachings to Rahula. When Rahula was 7 years old, the Buddha said, one, be truthful, because you're going to have to see things about yourself that you're not going to like. And the only way to see them is to be honest with yourself. Then, based on that honesty, you look at your intentions before you do something and ask yourself, what do you expect to come about as a result? If you anticipate any harm to yourself or others, you don't do it. Harm here is defined as, on the one hand, Harm to yourself is breaking the precepts. Harm to others is getting them to break precepts. If you anticipate harm, don't do it. If you don't anticipate harm, go ahead. But while you're doing it, check to see if you're creating any harm. And if you are, stop. If you aren't, at least you can't see any harm, keep on with the act until it's done. And then when it's done, you reflect on the long-term consequences. And if you saw that you actually did cause harm, talk it over with somebody who's more advanced in the path so you can get an idea of how not to repeat that mistake the next time around. In particular, be honest in your resolve to admit, yes, I did that, and I don't want to do it again. And I'm willing to put up with the embarrassment of telling someone about my mistakes. That's what integrity means. If you saw that you didn't harm anybody, okay, take joy in the fact that you're on the path and you're progressing on the path, and then keep on trying to progress even more. Now, the Buddha told Rahula to apply this principle not only to his physical actions, but also to his words and even to his thoughts. And this is where it gets into meditation. In another sutta, he talks about what's called an entry or an alighting on emptiness. And basically, it's getting the mind into a state of concentration and appreciating it. Okay, now that the mind is settled down, it's empty of a lot of the thoughts and concerns and burdens that it had before. But then you ask yourself, is there still any sense of being disturbed by anything? And again, it's not disturbed by the dog or disturbed by the sound of the crickets or whatever. It's disturbed by perceptions in your mind. What perceptions are still disturbing this concentration? When you catch a perception, and sometimes it's an integral part of that stage of concentration, which means you have to move to a deeper one, if you can let go of that perception. So again, you're looking at what you're doing, gauging the results, then seeing, is it really worth it? Is there anything in here that still is weighing on the mind? Because the Buddha sets up as the standard of this practice that it is possible to find a happiness that doesn't have any sense of burden or any sense of being disturbed at all. That's the standard you hold for finding greater and greater levels of happiness, greater and greater levels of well-being inside. It all builds on this quality of truthfulness, taking a fair and steady gaze at your actions. Because it is our actions that we're clinging to. When the Buddha talks about sensuality, it's not that we're attached to sensual objects, we're attached to the fantasizing that we like to do about sensual pleasures. Anticipation, you can anticipate a meal for hours. The meal takes only a few minutes. And you can embroider on what a great meal it was afterwards. That's the kind of stuff we're attached to. Because if you actually look at the experience of eating, there's some pleasure there, but it's not all that great. So we have to dress it up for ourselves in order to keep on coming back, coming back, coming back. And we get really attached to the dressing up. So many of our attachments are basically addictions to a certain kind of action. It requires integrity to see that. So we're not here trying to succeed at a little trick in perception, a little shift of perception that can get us out of suffering without much work. It takes work and it takes integrity to look at your actions, to catch yourself doing things you never noticed yourself doing before. That's one of the reasons we try to get the mind really solid in concentration, because it's only when the mind is very, very still that the little actions of the mind become apparent. But it's the same principle all the way through. Be honest with yourself about what you're doing and what the results are. And if the results aren't up to standard, and you try to make sure your standards are good standards, then you realize you've got to change. Again, this is the element of integrity in here. It's all motivated by compassion. Compassion for yourself. You don't want to harm yourself. You don't want to harm others. So it's compassion for them, too. but for compassion to be more than just a nice sentiment. It has to be bolstered by the integrity of admitting your mistakes to yourself and putting in the effort to try to change the way you act. That's how we get beyond suffering, stress, disturbance, all the greater and lesser forms of dukkha that weigh down the mind.